On this week's episode of the Wealth Collective podcast, we take a look at what you should be thinking about when selling investment assets to fund a lifestyle purchase such as a family home. Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. It's Pete Pennicott here, joined by my co-host as always, Zach Masters.
Hey Pete, how are you?
Feeling good. Not many weeks left in the calendar year, so... Yeah,
nearly at the end.
Might only sneak in another two episodes for our loyal listeners out there. So big shout out to them. Spotify Wraps all sort of up. So pretty exciting. So big year for the pod.
That's it. Very exciting. Have you done your Christmas shopping yet or?
No, not at all. I haven't started it.
None.
I'll make everything. I'm going to sort of do arts and craft for everyone. So, and op shopping, I think. So well, don't want to contribute
congratulations
to
if you're
consumerism.
On Pete's gift list. You're in for a real treat.
So no. What about yourself?
I think I'm pretty much there this year. So luckily my partner's pretty onto it. So it's just her gift that I've got no idea for and struggling with.
Get the paddle pop sticks out, a bit of glue, you'll be fine. Well, who can afford any presents anyway? The RBA's raised the cash rate again, so I'm going to get another email from my lending institution saying, g'day, how are you going? Your mortgage is, minimum repayments have gone up again next month.
At least he gave a nice apology last week.
Fantastic.
Sorry if you listened to us.
Yeah.
a lot of people are going to be feeling the pinch. And then it's kind of led us to what we'll talk about today a little bit. But I've had a few clients, I don't know if you've been seeing this, come in lately and they're potentially looking at purchasing a new family home. And might have a current family home and investment property but are looking to upgrade but potentially can't afford to hold on to the investment property and get the home that they want in the current interest rate environment. Is this something that you've seen at all or?
I think I've got my clients budgeting a bit better for Christmas presents and making them, so that sort of helped them stretch their budget a little bit further. No, but in all seriousness, I think affordability is definitely an issue.
Yeah.
Because we've had pretty substantial increases in average home prices. It's just one of the symptoms of that, I think, is it becomes a little bit tougher to make it all go together. Plus, we've had rising interest rates. So affordability becomes a bit more of a challenge to make the budget stretch a bit further. And asset prices aren't dropping enough in the right areas for a lot of those people. So I'm seeing it not massively, but I'm sure, the pinch may come up again in 2023 as sort of the bite continues to come in.
Yeah. So what we'll talk about today is around what you need to think about if you're thinking about selling in investments. So it could be shares, property, whatever it may be, to fund a lifestyle purchase. So that's usually an owner-occupied home or the home that you live in. So we often try to go back to why you purchased that asset that you're thinking of selling in the first place. So was there a specific purpose for that? So a lot of people potentially, look to buy an investment property just to put themselves in a better position. It's not really forecasting or looking forward to going like, okay, maybe this is my chance to get a step up into the family home. But some people do purchase assets with the idea or notion that in the future they may need to liquidate these to buy the home of their dreams or their forever home or something along those lines, because often the thing that then they seem to struggle with is the idea that you're selling an investment asset to fund a lifestyle asset. So usually when we are doing plans and things like that, we discount the family home to a certain extent because we can't use it in our retirement planning or future income needs potentially. There are some ways to get at it as in different ways, but a lot of the time it's left behind. So some people then are kind of hesitant to pull the trigger and go like, oh, I feel like I'm putting myself backwards to a certain extent.
Well, I think you are. Like you are financially and from a potential wealth creation perspective, putting yourself backwards, and that's okay.
But what about the notion that like, what if they are feeling like they can buy a better asset for their family home then, in a better suburb or something like that.
Maybe. Well, that's an assessment of the two assets. But I think this is not necessarily always going to be a financial decision. When you're talking lifestyle assets, you're thinking about your lifestyle. So is it going to add quality of life?
Mm.
Yeah, it's hard to quantify and put a price on that all the time. But you know, if you have the same amount of assets in a high quality investment asset that generates capital growth and income versus a lifestyle asset that might be just as high quality that and generates no income,
and
costs you money to live there and generates some capital growth, well, yeah, the investment asset's going to outperform from a pure wealth metric.
Yeah, if you're doing modeling or anything like that.
Well, just any, like you're just going to notice it. Like the whole, you know, your home is somewhere where you live, but I think you've got to sort of put a price on going, hey, well, we spend a lot more time in our homes nowadays. So we're sort of, more people are working from home. I think the pandemic taught us that if you're going to be cooped up inside, you know, your fence, your walls, your balcony or your garden, whatever you want that to be a little bit more
spacious,
luxurious, fit for purpose. And the world's different. So I think that's got to be worth something. So I think you've got to look at it and be pretty comfortable with the fact that sometimes decisions aren't necessarily all about the financial outcome.
Yeah, and that's what we've spoken about a fair few times on the podcast, is that money's just a vehicle to get you where you need to go, but you need to be forward-looking as well and making sure that you're not robbing your future self just to fund a short-term lifestyle decision. Like if you're getting close to retirement and you're going to put everything into your family home and have no retirement assets, well then...
And if
that's a problem.
And if we're talking purely about family home, it is an asset that's going to appreciate over long periods of time, providing you buy well. So it's not like you're burning cash and going and splurging it all on, I don't know, the most expensive dinner you can get or sort of, you know, experiences, which I still think are investments. But, you know, you're talking about it's an appreciating asset that you might be able to unlock the value in into the future. So I think when you're looking at going, what do you need to think about is... Well, if you've got multiple assets, what's the right asset to sell? So I think you need to do an analysis of what are the future prospects. So if you've got an investment property, you've got a share portfolio, you've got potential access to superannuation depending on your age, whatever you've got, you need to sort of get all your cards out on the table and go, okay, what is the best asset to sell based on lack of future prospects? So if you're looking forward, which one of these would you not buy today potentially? Well, that might be a good decision. But also, what one's going to be leave the best net impact into your either cash flow, but also your tax implications as well.
Well, that's the tax implications an interesting one, because some of the scenarios I've seen of this lately have been ones where the debt is quite paid down, so sometimes almost paid off. So it's not going to be negatively geared. It's going to create a tax problem for you. So is there the benefit of potentially selling this asset and then in a couple of future years once... you know, you've paid down a bit of the owner-occupied loan to buy a new investment property at a much higher deductible debt scenario. So that's kind of the things that you should be weighing up as well.
And I think before you do that, like one of the other funding options is debt. You know? And I know that's sort of a challenge in the current environment. We've got rising rates.
I think people are scared a little bit and nervous. I think that's why they're looking like they're going, oh, I don't want to take on as much debt as what...
Our listeners are bold and brave, so I can't imagine there's people there shaking in their boots. I think with good budgeting and doing an assessment, getting that analysis done to understand what are my other options for funding this. So if it is, first things first, like is it important? So is this something I really want to do? Is there value in it? And value defined in quantitative and qualitative factors. And then you look at going, well, these are all the options I've got available. These are the assets I can sell. Or you might have other funding options where it might be via debt. Because I think that's going to be critical. And if there is a way to fund it, we'll do the analysis and go, are my investments likely to outperform what this debt is going to cost me? That's a pretty high hurdle to hit at the moment. And obviously with investment returns across the board, property included, I'm probably looking a bit sick. So I wouldn't look at my advice to people is don't look at a short-term return and go, oh, well, yeah, obviously I've got a negative property portfolio, negative
and interest rates, it's
negative investment portfolio. Yeah. And interest rates are positive and costing me money. So, there's my answer.
Yeah.
Look at it over long periods of time.
Yeah. And then potentially when we're looking at selling, so say we've got a share portfolio, or an investment property, there's the CGT impacts as well, so the capital gains tax implications. So just be aware of what your end result is too. So especially with the property one, a lot of people forget the real estate fees you know, potentially all the marketing costs. You got your capital gains tax. So are you actually coming out with as much as what you thought, or enough to make a significant dent in the property purchase that you're looking to do as well?
Well, the trap for young players is you sell an asset, you've forgotten about the capital gains liability that you've incurred, and then you're not going to sort of have to pay that for probably sometimes months and months and months down the track. And you haven't set the funds aside, you've actually put it all toward this next property. You need to really have a plan to either set it aside or know that you're going to be able to accumulate enough savings to pay that tax liability that you're going to have.
Yeah.
Because the ATO does not wait for anyone. So when you go to lodge your return and, you know, whatever tax year that is, when it's due, that bill is going to be due. So you want to make sure you've got those funds available to pay that, because what it might mean is this lifestyle asset that you've worked so hard for and been so excited about is going to be a potential headache for you. And it might be in really severe circumstances, might result in you needing to exit that property and turn it into a rental property or something so you can actually fund the tax liability. So yeah, really important one to note. And in terms of managing those CGT impacts, things we've spoken about before of going, looking to maximize deductions in that tax year if you are transacting and selling an asset that's got a capital gain on it.
Yep.
But also things like catch-up concessional contributions. So just look at all those strategies and make sure they're in the same financial year as when you've done that big transaction. So, yeah, they're the common sense things that we've talked about several times.
Definitely. The other thing that I'd mention that we haven't talked about is to get in touch with a good strategic mortgage broker as well. So especially if you are looking to sell an investment property and you were, you know, really, like this was part of your future wealth creation plans, was that you'd have a couple of properties in your portfolio, maybe just try and talk to them and go like, okay, like when would I likely be available for more lending if I pay down at X rate, and what's my borrowing capacity look like in the future? Obviously, things have changed a little bit with rising interest rates over the past 12 months, but potentially have a look and speak to a good broker and start to plan out when what the future looks like, because you might just be, you know, a couple of years without an investment property. In a couple of years' time, you'll be ready to purchase again.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but otherwise, I think, is there anything else you wanted to add, Lee? Any final points? I know you like to sort of throw something in last minute there.
No, I think it's, I think the other thing you've got to look at is then what we have, like just one last thing, is that if you were to purchase a lower property for a family home, that's not going to be your forever home. Well, you've got stamp duty, you've got, you know, the costs of doing business and purchasing a property. If it means then in 5 years' time, you're going to be doing the same thing again, like that's something you've got to weigh up too, I think. Is the cost to buy and sell, because if you're going to keep doing that just to eventually like slowly upgrade the family home, then potentially you're not going to be happy for a large amount of time and have a lot of transaction costs in the meantime.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that I've mentioned there as well.
Yeah, and I think those turnovers are one thing, but also be realistic with yourself as well. Like what you don't want is mortgage stress. Yeah, so I think it's all well and good to have desires for things, but if they turn into and going to manifest into a lot of like daily stress,
yeah, you're worrying about,
I bet you about worrying about, I cannot afford this. I'm now forced to do a job that I really hate.
Yeah,
I don't have any surplus income, cash flow to live the life that I want. I think you really just need to step back and do the budgeting. You know, the bank's going to make you do a lending sort of sensitivity based on an extra 3%. And you should too. Like when you're running your budget, dial it up and, you know, dial up your expenses and go, hey, what if everything got 10% more expensive?
Yeah.
Because inflation might not be what you spend money on. Just, you know, might nice round number, 10%. It's probably more than what it's likely to be, but that might give you a bit of cushioning.
Yeah.
And then factoring going, okay, well, can I really run my lifestyle and am I going to be happy? And, you know, there might be some sacrifices that you need to make, and that's okay. Life's full of compromises. But yeah, that'd be probably my parting remark about just getting that right, and don't, you know, don't just sort of chase it and thinking, oh, it's all going to be fantastic. If it's going to be really stressful for you for years and years and years, because those mortgages don't go away quickly.
Yeah. Very good. As always, if you've got any questions, email us at connect@picada.com.au. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thanks, Pete.
See ya.